latest episode of Locked On Suns for a Locked On Podcast Network. Today's eyes your host, Evan Setter, and join my very special guest of today's show, Max McCauley. You guys know him on Twitter at MaxMCC11. Used to be the host of the 7-6 or Less podcast with David Nash. They are all really fulcrum points. You guys should follow them on Twitter. They are really a huge part of Suns Twitter. Max, we are joining Max and I are joining you guys today. 117-115, the final score of this one, a couple hours after it's been over at this point, Max. But wow, what a game that was. 117-115, the Suns upset the Los Angeles Clippers. They kind of had control of this game throughout, a lot of ebbs and flows, but the Clippers kept trying to fight back. The Suns would respond each time. And of course, you should have them to start the show here, Max. Devin Booker is a very, very bad man. He took over the bubble in Orlando. He's doing so against his Clippers team. It's a game winner as time expires. Really spinning around over his left shoulder, over Kawhi Leonard, over Paul George's outstretched hand. Incredible play by Devin Booker. Incredible game by the Phoenix Suns, and they're now 3-0 in the Orlando bubble.
Fulcrum point. That was a nice thing for you to say. Thank you for that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bury the lead here. Let's start there, right? Devin Booker blows by all defensive team level defender Paul George, only to find defensive player of the year level defender Kawhi Leonard waiting there for him. Reverse spins away directly into recovering Paul George, fades away from George, is forced to kind of balance the ball in a way I'm not sure I've ever seen him balance it before. Probably gets fouled by George on the release, but kind of uses his offhand to block it, releases the ball over George, nothing but net. It's really one of the most aesthetically pleasing shots I've ever seen, much less a game winner. Given the circumstances, degree of difficulty, you know, how important this play was, there's no doubt it's the best play in his career so far. One of the best game winners you're going to see, like I said, it's now displaced his Dallas game winner. I don't remember that from the sophomore season, Evan. He had a really nice game winner against Dallas. This blew out of the water. It was an incredible play. I think every Suns fan who's watching it shouted when they watched it. Evan, it kind of feels like this is the best time to be a Suns fan since, like, that 2014 Bledsoe Drogic team.
Yeah, it really is. And just it goes to show you right now that Devin Booker really is the superstar of this Suns team. And really, he is making a name for himself. He mentioned before in the Orlando bubble to us over a media Zoom call last month that he wanted to kind of make his name known more around the NBA. And he's definitely doing so in these first three games. But 35 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 of 9 from 3, 13 of 25 overall from the field. What was your impressions of Booker throughout this game, Max? I know we hit on his incredible game winner. I think easily, like you mentioned, the best shot of his career so far. But just a player who, from the beginning, knew this kind of game was, it had to be on his shoulders, going against Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and really taking that matchup. And you kind of saw from the very beginning how hot he was in the first quarter that this was going to be one of those Booker games.
Yeah, there are two things that really stood out before. I mean, obviously the fourth quarter was just incredible shot making. But before that, it was the passing and the three-point shooting. So he went 6 of 9 from three today, and all 6 of his makes were ridiculous, Evan. They were either setbacks in Kawhi's face, that was one in the third quarter, or like all from 3 feet or more behind the line. He was just feeling it, as you said. And that's so important for him because, I mean, as you know, our buddy Chris Hansen on Twitter likes to make known, he has not lived up as a shooter to what he was billed as pre-draft. It's the only thing he hasn't lived up to. In fact, he's blown everything else out of the water. The one thing he hasn't quite been, other than in the three-point contest, has been, you know, that elite three-point shooter you're looking for, particularly, you know, the one who can shoot off the dribble and create the space that your Harden and Lillard types create. And when you see games like this, if he can get to the point where he's doing this more often, that's really how you just open up everything for your team, because you have to guard the guy from everywhere on the court at all times. He's a threat to just get hot and start launching 30 feet whenever. And that's when you can't guard a guy, and that's when he breaks the defense. And then the second part of what was so good about him is what that opens up, and that's his passing. He only, you know, quote unquote, only had 8 assists today, Evan, but like they were incredible assists. He had one to Mikal, I think, late in the second for a 3 in the corner. That was just a beautiful play. A couple really nice drop-offs under the rim throughout the game. Like his passing is really, it just keeps growing. And if you can combine those two skills, the back-breaking three-pointing shooting that will open up the court, combined with the improved playmaking ability. I mean, that's how you get, like I said, to the Harden lower stratosphere.
Yeah, like you mentioned, 8 assists for Booker and a couple of those to Mikal in the corner, Cam Johnson in the corner too, just masterful. He put on like a playmaking clinic in this one, Max. And it really throughout the bubble so far, Booker's kind of shown, and really throughout the season, every single year his playmaking improves. Even with Ricky Rubio on board, his assists only drop by 0.2 per game. I really love what I'm seeing from Booker as an all-around offensive threat at this point, Max. You know he's a great three-level scorer here, but seeing the impact he's had in every single facet of this game, even his defense, Max, has even gotten a lot better throughout this bubble. it looks like Booker's really rounding into form, so to say, as like, he hasn't even, it's incredible to say, he's nowhere near his prime. He's only 23 years old. He turns 24 in late October. His prime is going to be so fun to watch. This is what we get on a consistent basis.
Oh, I cannot wait. Yeah, I kind of feel like games like this are kind of a flash forward to his prime. There was one of those early in the season when the Suns were playing really well against Philly that I actually attended. I don't remember that game. He just torched Ben Simmons, one of the best defenders in the league. Every once in a while, he shows you these glimpses of what he's going to be when he's in his prime. And man, is it exciting. Like, the fact that he just keeps getting better, Evan, like, he made a huge leap this season. He made the All-Star game, obviously, not when he should have made it, but at least he made it. But he's better now. I feel like in the bubble so far, if he keeps playing this way, he took another leap, and that's the leap that really matters. That's the leap that takes you from, you know, borderline All-Star to really franchise-changing, impactful star. And if that's what we're going to get out of Booker going forward, I mean, how could you not be excited as a Suns fan?
Yeah, Devin Booker was the superstar, the superhero of today's game, beating the Clippers 117-115 on that buzzer being shot, was really dominant throughout today's game. But I think another positive hit on here going our first free throw, of course, was Devin Booker. But the second one, I think, one who continues to be so underrated in this bubble so far is Ricky Rubio. 18 points, 4 assists, 3 of 4 from 3. He's shooting 60% from 3 in the bubble so far, Max. What was your impression of Rubio today? Only played 28 minutes. He really staggered Booker and Rubio well and had Rubio, I think, sit for, I think, 10 minutes in the second half as the second unit continued to try to platoon them and lead them forward here. But a very underrated game from Rubio where he's such a calming, stabilizing force, Max, and especially in these kind of playoff atmosphere-type games, it shows through very easily.
Yeah, the thing about Ricky Rubio is he's obviously a brilliant passer. He's a really solid defender at the point guard position. The thing you need from him, and it's streaky, is the scoring, right? The scoring and the shooting. And in the bubble so far, it hasn't been streaky. It's been there the whole time. Today, he was 3 for 4 from three. He had a couple really nice ones, too. He had one, I don't remember this one, in the third, where he had to, like, hesitate to let somebody blow by him. Can't remember why. Still knocked it down. That's impressive stuff. Scoring-wise, there was one towards the fourth where he, like, somehow banked in a shot on the baseline towards the end of the fourth quarter. I thought he got fouled, too. It was an incredible shot. Like, Ricky Rubio, when he's making shots like that, there's really not a whole lot he can't do. I think I saw someone, it may have been Kellen Olson, tweet that he's, you know, he's playing like an all-star right now in the bubble. And that's key for the Suns, obviously. I mean, other than Booker, their guard play has been tough with Rubio's injury problems and streaky scoring. So, I mean, if Rubio's going to keep playing like this alongside Booker playing like this, like, that backcourt's going to give you a chance to win any game you play.
I think also, I know Rubio had his bout with COVID-19 during this off period for the Suns, and he showed up late to the Orlando Bowl, Max. But I think we saw throughout the latter parts of the year that Rubio really was kind of gassed out at some point. Some nights he just looked so sluggish. He was battling nicks and bruises here and there. But I think Rubio, maybe more than others on this Phoenix Suns roster, is going to benefit so much from this four-month layoff.
I totally agree. And there's something else he may benefit from. I don't know. I won't go into him now if you have him on your free throw list, but is campaign on your list there, Evan?
Oh, absolutely. He was a plus 14 in this game and continues to be sort of a revelation of the second unit where you can think if campaign's doing this for the Suns team, you have to wonder if they get another player in that kind of spot, what they'll do for the second unit. Because campaign, honestly, Max, has been a revelation.
He's been a revelation, and yeah, so we'll start with the Rubio aspect of this, which, like you said, he made 28 minutes. You don't have to play Rubio or, you know, overtax him if you have a competent guard on your roster other than Rubio and Booker, right? Like, you can't get away with two guards, but you can get away with three. And Cameron Payne, I don't know. I mean, you know, listen, just very small sample size. We'll see, but so far, I mean, the returns are unbelievably good. Like you said, he played really well today, 2 of 3 from three with two monster threes on his 12-3-3-1, 56% shooting. A lot of heady passing to the rim I was really impressed by. He kept pressing the pace. But, Evan, this is my favorite stat by far today. Maybe the whole game, maybe non-Booker division. Campaign, in 20 minutes today, as a guard who was handling the ball, had 0 turnovers. That kind of play is just not something the Suns had all season for backup point guards.
It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient, easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. And CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners at Locked On Sun 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com and promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.
It really is incredible that James Jones and Monty Williams, I think it was more so Monty Williams kind of vouching a campaign on board here. He was on the Oklahoma City staff, just flamed out there, went to Chicago, flamed out there, and he was in the G League this past year at Texas Legends, the Mavericks affiliate. And to bring him on board here, he's only on the team now for I think over a month now if you include practices and games. It's kind of incredible to say just the way that campaign's kind of taken over this backup point guard spot and ran with it, because even his defense too, Max, I don't even remember ever seeing campaign playing this hard on defense where he's pickpockets Kawhi Leonard in this game and continues to show that I think he's kind of just fighting for his NBA life at this point. I think it's very easy to say because this might be his last chance of the way he's played throughout his career here, but campaign has a 2-minute our team option for 2020-2021. And he's a player moving forward here, Max, where if the Suns want to keep this magical run going, campaign's actually the really important piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, that team option is like guaranteed to be exercised. And I mean, unless I guess he doesn't make another shot for the rest of the tournament, maybe still, he still does. Campaign, I don't know. I'm pretty sure we don't win the Dallas game without him. I'm pretty sure we don't win this game without him. It's just that setting for us off the bench at the guard position is just something the Suns haven't had all year. We were hoping we'd get it from my man Ty Jerome, who didn't look great in scrimmage games. He needs some time of him. So I'm glad we were able to import somebody out of nowhere who was able to really not only just like kind of, you know, steady the pace, but again, really he's making impactful plays, Evan. It's not just that he's like not screwing up. He hit two monster threes in a row today in the third quarter. He did the same thing in the third quarter of the Dallas game. Like, he's like really impacting these games in a way that no one could have expected.
Two more positives on my list here, Max. We're going to start with a player who, just like the Dallas game, he didn't really show up much in the offensive end, but defensively, I know Kawhi had his moments against him late, but throughout this game, Mikal kind of put Kawhi in jail at some points, which really impressed me. He had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals on 3-6 shooting in 34 minutes here, but I think it just kind of shows you, Max, the high IQ, savvy player that Mikal Bridges is, where on games where he isn't aggressive offensively, where he is sort of just buying in defensively and really honing in on his matchup there. Throughout the first half, Kawhi Leonard was really struggling badly because Mikal was just so aggressive on him defensively. And in these kind of games here, Mikal is really that swing piece where when he hits a couple of those threes, 3 of 4 from three, that helps decide the Suns win this game.
Yeah, I remember Devin Booker said something along the lines of like, Mikal Bridges is not just a 3-and-D player. He can do more. We saw a lot of that in the scrimmages. We've seen less of that in these games that have counted. But today he was the classic 3-and-D player, right? He, you know, like you said, he went 3 or 4 from three. That's perfectly serviceable for that role, and played elite defense for most of the game. Like you said, tough assignment. Kawhi started to get to him towards the end of the game. I think Kawhi is just so strong. It's almost really not fair for Kawhi versus Mikal. I mean, Mikal's gotten better in the strength area, but you know, he's still spindly Mikal. But we have to mention, I mean, there is no Booker game winner. There is no Booker's career highlight so far without the Mikal Bridges steal, right? Zubac gets the rebound on the miss from Rubio towards the end of the game, or at the very end of the game there. And Mikal somehow has the presence of mind to just reach up those, you know, freakish gummy arms he has and just totally, deflect and envelop Zubac's attempted an outlet pass to get a final shot. Gets the ball over to Ayton, throws it to Booker, and, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But I mean, that just shows you what Mikal is. I mean, there's not a lot of players in the league who make that play.
Yeah, Mikal really, like you mentioned, Max, the scrimmage games where he's super aggressive, had the ultra green light, and really kind of had some flashes of what could be in the future for Mikal. But in these kind of games against Dallas and Los Angeles, that perfect glue guy, and I know we mentioned before when you've had you on the show in the past, where Mikal is so valuable as team moving forward here, Max, even though there's some games where he's going to be quiet offensively. These kind of moments from Mikal where, like you mentioned, Booker doesn't have that magical moment, that kind of career-defining moment for Devin Booker without him getting that deflection off Zubac. And you see this type of player Mikal Bridges is moving forward here. I'd be stunned if Mikal ever goes back to the bench at this point. I know he was kind of on and off this year with Kelly Oubre and Dario as the 3-4 combo, but I think just over the last few months, we've seen Mikal even in February and March and heading into the Orlando bubble in late July, early August. I think he's locked in now for maybe the next 10-plus years you're starting small forward.
Totally agree. There's no way he's in the back to the bench. I mean, he's become, you know, if not, he's definitely a top five wing defender in the league right now. It, you know, maybe even higher. We'll see. I can't wait to see him as he gets stronger. I mean, again, I think I said this last time I was on with you and David was on with us. I think I said, it sounds stupid, but like, it really does matter that his arms are 2 inches longer than they should be. It just makes it really, really hard to, you know, pass around him and try to score around him. He deters so many shots at the rim. He gets the passing lanes. He is a freak of nature. And the fact that he kind of complements Booker and Ayton perfectly, given, you know, his 3-and-D skill set. And again, hopefully he becomes more. Would love to see him be the scorer he was in the scrimmage games. But even if he just becomes, you know, the kind of quintessential ultimate 3-and-D player, that's exactly what the Suns need with their two stars. So, you know, I totally agree. He is locked into the starting lineup as far as I'm concerned.
The last positive I had on my list, Max, you're more than happy to add more if you so please here. But Dario Saric, once again in this game, was so valuable off this bench. 26 minutes, he had 13 points, 8 rebounds, and an assist. 4 of 9 from the field, 5 of 6 in the free throw line. Continue to be very aggressive near the rim, Max. I think this is sort of, like we mentioned, a revelation of the campaign, but I think Monty Williams kind of has stumbled into a revelation here where Dario Saric could be like your super six man. And I am all aboard now the train of bringing back Dario for his $5.1 million restricted tag next year, because he's kind of just showing himself to be perfect in this role, Max, where he's kind of empowered as a six man to come off that bench and be aggressive. And he's really buying into that.
Yeah, as long as he's not playing his way out of that qualifying offer, I guess would be the only problem there, right? But I agree. I mean, if you can get him on that, I think based on what we've seen from him so far, that, I mean, no doubt you bring him back. Like you pointed out, the stats weren't incredible today, but in the early fourth quarter, he was really keeping us in it offensively. He had a couple of really nice finishes in the paint, and I couldn't agree more with you. I think he's been awesome the whole bubble, but particularly today, he was a steadying presence. So if we can get him on that, that'd be fantastic. And the only other guy I'd want to mention, we should probably mention Ayton a little bit here, right? Because he's DeAndre Ayton. He was really actually making his middies, which was nice. I don't generally like the middies, but Aiden, if you're going to make them, I guess you can take them. Nice to see him continue to shoot the three a little bit. Made one. That was nice. Obviously, the play at the end of the game was beautiful on the end one. Screen roll with Booker. You know, I'd like to see him make the free throw, but whatever. But the most important thing, I think, for him in this game was, you know, after starting in the first half, I think, again, a little lackluster defensively. Towards the end of the game, in the last minute or so, he really locked in. I thought he was really good defensively and made it difficult on the Clippers to score. I mean, Kawhi still got the ball in the hoop because it's Kawhi Leonard, and he's, you know, maybe the best player in the league, definitely top three. But I think Ayton's defense towards the end of the game was really encouraging.
Yeah, and I haven't had anything on the show to ask you this yet, but Ayton's kind of shown off that new range in the bubble so far. He's now made 3 threes, made 1 today on 1 of 2. Ayton, by the way, his stats were 19 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists on 9 of 18 shooting. His mid-range was going, like you mentioned there, Max. But what was your overall takeaway throughout this bubble experience so far, of Ayton kind of finally expanding that range after 2 years of talking about it?
It's been the only thing I'd say I'm happy about with Ayton so far in the bubble. Other than, like I said, the defense got better here at the end of the game. But the three-point shooting, the fact that he's so natural-looking doing it, not just the fact that it's going in, but even the misses look pretty good, it's huge for him. I mean, the most important thing is that he gets to the line more. It's not enough what he's doing right now. You cannot be a star player on offense if you don't get to the line more often than that. And given his physical gifts, it's sort of unconscionable that he doesn't. So that's something I'm still looking at. But the other way for him to become very valuable offensively is to become a really good three-point shooter. Because, you know, if you have a center who can shoot the lights out from three, it's even more spacing than you get from a guard like Booker who could do it. So if they can do it together, that'd be really interesting. So that's just huge to me. And I think I tweeted today, like, before the midi started going in, I would maybe say he'd never do a midi again as long as he's shooting threes like that, because it's just a much, much, much better shot.
Let's move on, Max, into our stats to watch. We're going to skip over some flagrant fouls today because I think this is the biggest win for the Suns in arguably 4 or 5 years, like you mentioned, since the 2014-15 magical run to that near playoff experience for this Phoenix Suns team. And maybe they're doing the same right now in 2020. But let's hit on the overall statistics for the Suns as far as today goes. Scorching hot from the field once again, 47 53, 71 shooting splits. They were 10 of 14 from the free throw line. But overall in this 3 games so far in the bubble, Max, for the ones actually counted, 48.2, 41.3, 85.5 shooting splits. This Suns offense is on fire right now.
Yeah, it looks absolutely fantastic. And again, I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Rubio's healthy and the fact that they have a backup point guard who doesn't suck. That's very helpful right now. And maybe he does suck, but he hasn't sucked so far. And then obviously Devin Booker has just been unbelievable. And like you mentioned before, Dario Saric, there's a lot of guys who are playing well right now, and that often will make you a little concerned that, you know, maybe it's unsustainable, but I know Booker's not unsustainable. I know Rubio's not. So it'll be, you know, kind of incumbent on the rest of the guys to stay the way they are, but it's been nothing but encouraging, Evan. Like, you'd like to see the defense be a little bit better, but it hasn't been, you know, as bad as it has been historically. And the offense is obviously carrying today.
The Phoenix Suns are the hottest team in basketball right now. I think that's very safe to say. They're at least up there amongst this NBA bubble so far. My bookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams in the start of the Major League Baseball and the NBA bubble ongoing. There's never a better time to start playing with my bookie. With my bookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out my bookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun. But why stop at baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting, and if you join today, MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus it'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you have to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, it's simple. You bet, you win, they pay. 25 assists to 8 turnovers today, too, for this Suns team, continuing to move the ball around, being so well and smart with this ball. And it made me think, just thinking through these three games so far, Max, and especially today when you see right away the urgency from this team, like Monty Williams and his coaching staff, and I think especially the leaders on this team like Devin Booker, have bought into the playoffs have kind of already started. They started against the Wizards. They went into the Mavericks with that comeback, pulled off the Clippers in the end with Booker's magic. But what's been your impression of this team so far, moving the ball, being smart with it, and also really fighting for their lives to where they know they have to pretty much go 8-0 to make it into this play-in game?
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to start with that last point because I think it's really critical. A lot of these teams came into the bubble with some room for error, right? You know, Memphis had a lot of room for error. The NBA made sure they'd have almost infinite room for error. But the Suns had none. The Suns still can't lose any games. Like, that's kind of the thing. And I think we're going to get to this later, Evan, a little more about the West picture. Like, it's been really great so far. The Suns still have an uphill battle here. There's a lot they have to do. But I think they may have motivated them. You know, they don't have anything to lose, everything to win, and they have to win every single game. So they're really locked in. I think today Doc Rivers said after the game, like, you know, they just played harder than we did. They cared more than we did, which makes sense. I mean, the Clippers are locked into the playoffs. But still, it's nice to get that kind of praise, and especially for a Phoenix team that over the past, you know, few years has had lukewarm energy, we might say, especially from game to game. So it's nice to see them really, really locked in. As far as moving the ball without turnovers, I think a big part of that, and it's weird that I keep bringing him up because he's, you know, ostensibly a pretty small name here, but campaign had zero. And the fact that your, you know, backup point guard who has the most time with the ball other than your main guards is not turning the ball over, it's hard to understate how important that is. And then, yeah, of course, I think the ball movement's been a lot better, and the fact that they're moving the ball around the court the way they are without turning the ball over it's really impressive.
Yeah, this Suns team has been so fun to watch, Max, and they're the talk of the NBA bubble right now, and especially after what Booker did today, they're going to be doing so until they play the Pacers on Thursday. I think that's going to be such a fun game to watch. Mm-hmm. Arguably the two hottest players in the NBA right now, Devin Booker versus TJ Warren, the former Sun. But let's dive in now into what you wanted to talk about before, the schedule and looking at the scenarios here, because we know what the Suns have to do. They have to go 8-0 here, but currently as we're recording this, the Trailblazers are beating the Houston Rockets 82-77, almost done with the third quarter here. We'll keep you updated throughout the show until we end, but the Trailblazers, if they lose this game, would obviously help if Houston comes back and wins. We've seen a lot of the scenarios go the Suns' way so far. The Kings are kind of tanking. The Grizzlies, unfortunately, lost Jaren Jackson Jr. for the rest of the bubble today by torn meniscus. They are 0-4 so far in the bubble. The Pelicans have been struggling. The Spurs are the one team that worries me a little bit, Max, because they've been kind of very close to going 3-0. They barely lost to the Sixers yesterday. What has to go right for this Suns team to sneak in somehow, some way, into that playing game?
It's going to be tough. I took a look at this. The problem with the Memphis thing, I mean, I think ostensibly you'd think, hey, Memphis is struggling, that's good for the Suns. Problem is, if Memphis drops to the 9 seed, then the team that passes them will play them instead of anybody behind them, right? So if that happens, Phoenix has to pass Memphis. And the only way for Phoenix to pass Memphis is to go 8-0 if Memphis goes 1-7, or to go 7-1 if Memphis goes 0-8. So like, it's really, really, really hard for Phoenix to pass Memphis. So unless we can really, really kill it and Memphis really sucks, we need Memphis to kind of start winning some of these games to stay the 8 seed so that we can, you know, hopefully sneak in and be the team that plays them. You mentioned some teams that are scary. I think actually with an underratedly scary team, they were, before this play-in thing started, they were the team that kind of everybody was watching. Lost their first two, beat Memphis the other night, and that's New Orleans. And the reason why they're so scary is their schedule is easily the easiest of the remaining schedules among these teams. They play Sacramento, Washington, San Antonio, Sacramento again, then Orlando. And listen, there's some tough teams in there, but when you only have 22 of the NBA teams in the bubble, all the schedules are really, really hard, and that's easily the easiest of what's left. So I'm watching them really hard. We're going to actually weirdly going to be rooting for Sacramento, I think, at some point soon.
Like you mentioned, New Orleans is a team to watch, of course, with Zion, the way he plays in short bursts right now. I think he's not, obviously, of course, 100% Zion, but when he gets going, that Pelicans team is so fun to watch, and they are definitely one team to watch as far as keeping the Suns out of this playoff race goes. But what do you think about a team like Portland, who's currently beating the Houston Rockets, where they're kind of the bugaboo to me for the Suns team, where I think they're the one when you have Damian Lillard, the best player in this scenario. You have CJ McCollum, who's super hot right now in this bubble, and Yusuf Nurkic, who's an underrated piece to that team. They're kind of the one I keep coming back to, where if they do beat Houston tonight, it's going to be a very tough road to climb, because I think Portland, too, they have a tough schedule climb up here. They play the Nuggets, they play the Sixers and the Clippers. But if they even get one of those games, I think Portland's in a position where they might be the ones kind of in the catbird seat, so to say, for that nine spot.
Yeah, totally agree. They might be the best team among these that we're talking about. I mean, I'd love to say it's the Suns. I hope it's the Suns. But, you know, based on track record, they're in the Western Conference Finals last year. Nurkic has come back and looked just as good as he looked before the injury. Dame is obviously on fire as he usually is. CJ McCollum's looked really good. So, yeah, I mean Portland looks awesome. Like you said, their schedule is really hard right now. So it's Houston, then Denver, then the Clippers. That's going to tell us a lot. If they win even one of those games, they then have Philly, Dallas, and Brooklyn to close it out. Philly, who the hell knows what's going to be going on with them? By then, Dallas, too. I mean, Dallas could be locked into the seventh seed, and then obviously Brooklyn is not good. So, I mean, it's really going to come down to how Portland plays in these next three games. And the fact that they're beating Houston, I mean, everyone listening to this is going to know what happened. So it might be super for us to talk about it, but it matters a lot. So I'll tell you right now, if Portland won, not a good thing, guys.
Yeah, that is definitely a point that we're going to have to keep monitoring, because this Blazers team, I think the Pelicans too, like you mentioned, Max, those are the two teams that could keep the Suns out. But going really quick for today's show, Max, appreciate the time as always. Wanted to hit on the next few games for the Suns team. They play on Thursday the Indiana Pacers. Like we mentioned, TJ Warren is on fire now for that Pacers team. Very solid roster they have over there with Miles Turner, Malcolm Brogdon, Victor Oladipo still getting his footing under him. No Domantas Sabonis due to plantar fasciitis, but that Pacers team, I think, is one the Suns have historically struggled with under Devin Booker, where Nate McMillan and that staff really have a plan to stop Booker all the time, and that's going to be a real test for this team. A very fundamentally sound roster, a player who's scorching hot in TJ Warren. I imagine McHale will get the assignment on him. What's your impressions of this team moving forward here? Because after that Pacers game, they had the Miami Heat, another team the Suns historically struggle against. Jimmy Butler, of course, gives Booker problems a lot because he's a really thicker wing who's going to have the primary assignment on Booker as well. How important are these next two or three games? Because we're kind of getting to the meat of the schedule now. I know the Suns are the talk of the bubble here at 3-0, but I think these next two teams, Indiana and Miami, are going to be really the biggest test for them.
I'd extend it to the next three, Evan. I didn't include Oklahoma City in there, who looks awesome. There are three teams that are really veteran-laden. They're really well-coached. They're smart. And I think I treated this during the Dallas game. Like, the Suns are really talented. Mikal is very smart. Their best two players make some mistakes, I would say. The foul trouble they got into in the Dallas game was reprehensible. Like, you just can't do that. It was really, really, really bad. And, I mean, you know, kudos to the bench for bringing us back and somehow letting us win that game, which was really, really hard to believe what was happening. And I still don't know how that happened. But Booker and Ayton need to play smarter if we're going to beat the Indianas, the Miamis, and the OKCs of the world. Those are, you know, it's kind of like when you're listening to like the smartest, most, you know, solid teams, those are like two, three of the first five you've mentioned. I love your points on the Indiana matchup. It's going to be great. I mean, the only two undefeated teams in the bubble. You got TJ Warren against Mikal. TJ Warren is obviously just on fire. The 53 points against the Sixers is ridiculous. You have Booker also on fire going up against them. It's nice that Sabonis isn't playing. I mean, I don't like him to be hurt, but he's, you know, an incredibly smart player. I know I can't remember if we played Indy twice, but I know at least one of the games we played them this season, it's stained into my mind because it was one of our worst games of the year. Sabonis in particular just destroyed us. So hopefully his absence will help us a little bit, but I mean, it's going to be really exciting, man. I mean, who would have known that the Suns Pacers would be one of the best games of the bubble before this all started?
Yeah, it's going to be so fun to watch on Thursday. But before I let you go, Max, because I forgot to ask us at the top of the show, talk about Devin Booker and that shot, arguably the best shot of Booker's career, the best game of Booker's career so far. 35 points, 8 assists on 13 of 25 shooting, and really going off in the last few minutes of this game. What was your reaction watching from home on your couch when that shot went in?
I screamed is what I did. And I was being very quiet throughout the entire game because, you know, I'm working. I'm a working person. But when that shot went in, I literally screamed. My wife's like, "What happened?" I think she might have thought I got stung by a scorpion or something. But I actually was just reacting to the greatest game winner in Booker's career, one of the better in Suns history, I'd imagine. Gone back and thought about the best game winners in Suns history, but that can't be, you know, far off the top of the leaderboard there. So it was just a really wonderful moment, Evan. It was a lot of fun.
Max, really enjoyed talking with you, man. Like I mentioned, if you guys are on Suns Twitter, if you're on Twitter, go follow Max at MaxMCC11. He is definitely one of the best when it comes to Suns Twitter. And we'll get you on more throughout this bubble experience, Max, so we can get you back on David Nash, reunite the 7 Seconds or Less crew, because it's always fun talking with you and David. And I hope to have you on back soon, because if this run continues, we're going to be talking more about the Suns and actually playing meaningful basketball, which is always fun. So, Max, appreciate the time, man.
Hey, it was really fun, Evan. Happy to come on whenever you want, especially to talk about the Suns when they're playing well. It's nice to talk about.